Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. Tonight, we're going to do a stitch and chat. Me, Beth, Jennifer, all three of us, two of us, whatever. But, yep, we're going to do that. So that'll be 8 o'clock Eastern time on the YouTube channel, the usual time, usual place. So join us for that. And next week, the 30th, the last Wednesday in March, whatever day that is. Why do I do that?
I don't know why I do that. I don't have a calendar. Why do I do that?
Here, I'm going to have that date for you in just a second here. It's going to be very exciting. The 30th.
Yeah, so you know. Okay.
March 30. March 30, there will not be a show. My sister is coming, and we're going to go on an overnight bike ride, and so there will not be a show on March 30.
Oh.
So take a week off.
Good plan.
Yep.
Because taking all the equipment with you and trying to record in a hotel, that's not really fun. If you're on a bike.
Yeah. Not hauling all that. No, not happening. No.
No. So.
Yep. So stitch and chat tonight, and then on the 30th, we will not have a show, and then we'll be back in April for the regular schedule. But just going to have a week off there. So then that pushes, because when we do that, then May 25 was going to be our 500th show. So then that was a Wednesday. So then that pushes it to Sunday, which would be the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. Which actually works out, because then maybe we'll put together some plans and do a live show and have some guests and do some things. So
yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah. You know, it'd be fun to do a show with everybody, live show with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Maybe we'll get some guests. Maybe we'll talk to Sharon Bruce over there in Ireland and have her join us for a few minutes and that kind of thing. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because, yeah, if we can do it on a Sunday and do it during the day, then European people are not in bed. So we can. So we'll put together some plans for the 500th show, because we have to do something for that. I mean, 500 shows is just an awful lot of shows, so we got to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Have a little celebration.
Yes, that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beer and stuff. Yeah.
Beer. Yeah, maybe wine. I don't know.
Whatever is your beverage.
Okay.
Whatever is your beverage. Okay, so this past Sunday, if you haven't listened, Claire Hunter was our guest. Stitching Her Truth is her new book about Mary Queen of Scots. Do go listen to that. Do go listen to that. It is that one was... I have to say, I'm really proud of that interview. I think we really did a good job of exploring the book without exploring the book.
Right, and because we didn't want to tell you everything that was in the book, because you really need to read the book. The book is fabulous.
Yeah. Yes.
But she's a great interview too. So.
Yeah, she's fun. She's fun. Yeah. Yeah. So do that. The book is out. It was released on the 17th. I will say that if you go to Amazon, it is with shipping about $70, which is healthy. And I wrote to the publicist at the publishing company, and she explained that there is not a U.S. publisher for the book. And so, therefore, it has to come from Europe and blah, 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 blah. So that price, we've heard from a couple of people, is like, holy smokes, what's that? I mean, it's really good. It's a really good book. And she said there are no plans for U.S. a publisher in U.S. distribution at this point, but who knows, that could change. Yeah. But now, you know, I mean, like your library, that very well could be an option to get your library to get it. Your library, you have like the best world library in the world.
Yeah, just best small library. So, yeah, and I know I've talked to her about it, and I'll mention it again. And especially since but there are so many Stitchers in my area, and I think people would like to read it.
Yeah.
Interlibrary loan sort of thing. But yeah, if you can talk your library at least into getting it, because it is it's a great book. It's a great book.
Yep. So, So, I mean, and we also have heard from a ton of people who've said, they'd already ordered it, and several people ordered both books, both Claire Hunter books. Oh, boy, they're going to be in for some fun reading there. Let me just say that. So, anyway, all that aside, it's a good book. Go listen to the interview. Get the book. Really highly recommend listening to it or reading the book and listening to the podcast. Just really great. Claire is just superb. So check it out. This is Gary just interjecting here. After we recorded this week's show, right after that, we learned from Claire Hunter that you can buy her new book from the Book Depository, bookdepository.com, for $22 with free shipping. So that's the place to go instead of Amazon. Bookdepository.com, Embroidering Her Truth, Claire Hunter, $22, free shipping. Now back to our regular, back to what we recorded. Now we had the Stitch St. Luce Women's Cooperative. We've talked about that last couple of weeks. And Rebecca Dollimore, who is going to join us sometime in the fall. But we're in the process. I had offered that if people wanted to send needles and thread for the cooperative, for the ladies at the cooperative to use for their products, that you could send them to me and I would bundle them up and send them to Rebecca in England, in the UK, so that everybody didn't have to deal with the customs forms and postage and all that stuff. So I've had several people who are sending things. Already have a couple of packages in right here on the table. And so if you want to do that, if you want to contribute, send an email, gary@wetalkfiber.com. I'll send you my address, and then you can mail them to me, and then I'll bundle them all up, and we'll send them to Rebecca in the UK so she can, because they have to go to Rebecca. Otherwise, it gets caught up in who knows what getting to Madagascar. So you go to Rebecca, and she knows how to get it there without 15 people taking their share out of it. So,
yeah.
And then in the last two Wednesday shows and the Wednesday night Stitch Hour shows, and I'll put it with this one in the notes, is a full set of instructions for how to mail. If you want to mail something yourself, you're welcome to do it. Please do. It won't offend me a bit. Trust me. But there are very specific instructions for sending things so that it doesn't cost the nonprofit organization fees and fines and time to go pick up things at customs and so on and so forth. So follow those instructions to the letter, and then it will get there, and the only cost will be postage to you. Or you can send to me, and then we'll do that. So, and then there was question about what type of needles. And so Kathy Matthews wrote to Rebecca, because you'd think I'd get my act together and do it, but I didn't. And then Kathy wrote to me and said, I already wrote to Rebecca, and here's the scoop. So the cooperative uses sharp needles for most of their work. This is from Rebecca. The cooperative uses sharp needles for most of their work from sizes 5 to 9. And then for thread colors, they work with whatever's available. But brighter colors like pink, green, yellow, and purple are used a lot. So 5 to 9 sharps and any thread color but pink, green, yellow, and purple are the popular ones. And I've had a couple people ask, does it have to be DMC? And I made an executive decision that no, 6-stranded cotton floss. So if you wanted to send Anchor or another one, that would be fine. I would make it the quality like you would stitch with. Don't go to Joann's and get that cheap DMC stuff that for school girls to make little bracelets with and stuff. Not that, because we know that's just not quality thread. But a 6-stranded cotton floss, DMC or an equivalent, Anchor is certainly an equivalent, would be what would work. So
right. Right. And if, you know, and you don't want to send something that, that they can't use, you know, because it's a waste of postage. So.
Right. Yep. So send that. And somebody asked, you know, is there still time? There's plenty of time. Plenty of time. I'm going to, we've been talking about this now for a couple of weeks. I'll wait another week or two and see. And if things start to taper off, then I'll bundle one up and send it off. But then if we get some other people that come along, then, you know, we'll just send a second package. It's okay. They won't mind. Yeah, do it right away so you don't forget. But if you, you know, it's going to be a little bit before you feel like you can do that. You know, you need to go through your stash, and that's okay. There's still time. There's certainly a couple more weeks, if not more, before I'll send anything to Rebecca. So don't worry about that. So there we go. I think it's a great thing that we can do and help the folks in Madagascar with their business by getting them threads so they can make their products. And then if you're so inclined, go to Etsy and their store there at Etsy and buy some of their product. You know, they won't object to that either. So,
right.
Yep. So that's that. I guess that's all, really, all the announcements, isn't it? Looks like that's all we have. So, yep. Yeah. Buy Claire Hunter's book, send DMC Floss to me so I can send it to the cooperative. Yeah, there we go. That'll work. Yep. So I got an email from Heather Haley. Now, I don't know Heather Haley. Maybe I've met her, but I don't know her. She said, and I thought, well, this is a fun thing to talk about. So Heather says, I'm writing an article for Needle Arts. That's the magazine for the EGA. It's the EGA magazine, an excellent magazine. And yeah, join the EGA so you get that magazine. It's really good. So I'm writing an article for Needle Arts exploring what is the optimum number of embroidery projects. Now, this is all she said. You know, this is what she said, direct quote. What is the optimum number of embroidery projects?
Yes.
Exactly.
A lot.
Yeah.
Well, I think she posted the same thing on Facebook on the EGA Stitch Along site.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I took it as that what you're currently going to be working on. You know, I have, you know, umpteen projects that live in the basement that come up at various times. But as my WIPGO board will attest to, I like having a variety of projects going at the same time, though. I found the other day, I think I worked on 4 projects in one day. And I think, it, you know, maybe it's because I, you know, scatterbrained, easily distracted, who knows what.
Yeah.
But I like to have something that's hard, so which would be, I consider, a large project, something that is challenging. And that could be my white work project, the 17th century, the painted canvas, the lizard project. If I'm trying to figure a section out on that, that becomes my large project.
Yeah.
But then I like to have a medium project where I'm just like working background. The More Than a Rose project kind of qualifies yep. for that right now. I'm yep. like a background. But I also like to have a small project. And a small project isn't necessarily physically small. I think of it as one that I used to travel with, something that I carry with me. And when the kids were little and I was, you know, sitting and waiting for them, that tended to be Mill Hill bead kit. Because if you lost the whole thing, you are out at the most $20.
Right.
At the most. Yeah. And your time. But, you know, it wasn't like you were losing, you know, silks and all your threads.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's right. $6 a skein. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So, but small could be, two could be a fairly large project. So like Anya's Day at some point in time was my quote unquote. The Port of Fete, I considered that a small project, even though it's huge. It's a huge project. But I just work on one little letter a day generally and for 30 minutes. And okay, so then it's my little small stitch on that project.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable. Because see, that was my initial reaction when I read that was, well, all the things, you know, what's optimum? Well, yeah, whatever I've seen, sure, you know, bring it on. But yeah, three. I like, you see that? I'm with you on that. Three. One that, yeah, one that's challenging, one that's kind of medium, and then an easy one you can travel with. Mm-hmm. That's like when I was traveling, my banded thing that I was working on, that was my travel piece because it was one thread color and a couple of charts that I could, you know, I could copy off the bands that I was working on, so I didn't have to haul a bunch of paperwork, and just a piece of banding and a hoop and my little fanny stand thing. And that was it. You know, I'm good to go. Throw in some scissors, you know, those,
right.
And you're out the door. And yeah, I'd be sick if I lost that, but it's not like you would lose 20 skeins of silk thread, like you said. So, you know, you'd live.
Right. And it's not that it's mindless, but it doesn't require a lot of thought. So when you're traveling, a lot of times you've got other things on your mind. You're trying to, you know, you're doing business. So you wanted something that wasn't going to be too taxing. You didn't want to be, you could have had a small project, but it would have required more mental energy than maybe you would have had in the evenings to work on.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. Cause yeah, exactly. A day of trade show. I get back to the room, you know, day of trade show and then a dinner where you got to make conversation with people that you really don't know and, you know, that kind of thing. And then, yeah, you get back to the room and your feet are screaming at you and you just stop. So then, yeah, you can do something really simple and sit there and just kind of let all the tension and everything flow out of you. And
right.
It's like an Avalia chart is, you know, perfect for that kind of thing. And
right.
So yeah, I would go with three, two also, but then, you know, in the bigger picture, yeah, line them up and stack them up, you know, let's go.
Right.
Cause
right.
You know, I think that's now, I mean, I haven't done that lately cause I've been so focused on this sampler, but yeah, like you talk about working on four in a day, you know, that's nice variety that keeps you energized. It keeps your head working.
Right. And they're different techniques. So
yeah.
More than a rose, it's a very, it's the background stitch, but I'm using a metallic thread. It's requiring pulled work. So I have to keep my tension fairly even. I have to do a lot of compensating. So it isn't totally mindless when you work on it. So I set a timer because I found I was having a hard time getting back to that. No, who wants to work on the background, right? And
yeah.
So I said, okay, 30 minutes and you can be done for today. And that, and it helped. It's moving it forward.
Right.
So
yeah.
And the same with the portafette. I work on that in the mornings and I give it about 30 minutes. Now I might not get a letter completed. Some of those larger motifs are too much for me to do in 30 minutes. And it's because it's tiny count. So I've got to be careful with my needle placement, but I'm making progress by doing 30 minutes a day too. So,
yeah.
And it's nice to have that variety. It's fun to see it progress and have the variety.
Yeah. Now, so here's, okay. So yeah, I think we're pretty much in agreement. Yeah. But then bring them on. And then her second question, do you have a categorization system? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No,
no, no,
no,
no. That's a simple one. And there's no elaboration on that. Just no, no. Sorry.
Well, and I think of Gay Ann Rogers, who, she has one, she, you know, so she likes that large, medium, small.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be large could mean that she has a lot of background to do and she's filling in the background in one of her portraits. Small could be that she has a complex, something very complex on her, and she's working on the design. So it
right.
might be more intense. So I don't know. Yeah. But no,
yeah, okay. you can define those, but yeah, categorization. Yeah, I have a plastic box here with all the threads in it for my active projects, and it's overflowing. That's my categorization. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. No, not happening. No, not happening. But no. All right, so here's a question. Okay, you've got two or three cross stitch pieces going at once, mm-hmm. or more. I'm sure you could stack up quite a few.
Yes.
Could you take cross stitch pieces, and even though you're just making X's, you're just blindly making X's and following a chart, could you rank those and say, all right, here's my three, I'm only doing cross stitch, here's my challenging one, here's my medium one, and here's my easy one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because all right, so let's pull three. Spring Hill, Portifet, and Avlia. I'm working on Blue Larkspur. The hardest one would be Spring Hill. It's on 45 count. It's got a lot of fill in. It's my large project. My small one is still going to be Portifet, even though it's a huge project, but I'm just working on one small little motif at a time. Blue Larkspur is my medium one, even though it's on 30 count, because it's got a lot more color changes than I thought it did. So it's a little bit more complicated.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think you could easily, divide them up that way.
Yeah. Okay. Cause yeah, that's the way I would see it too, is you start to look at, okay, there's 20 different thread colors and I'm changing all the time. Mm-hmm. Or, there's one color, my banding thing. There's one color. That's easy right. one. I'm making X's over one color bands right. that are what, 4.5 inches wide. That's pretty mindless stuff. But yeah, you get into Spring Hill. Yeah. You got to pay attention.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
And then higher thread count on your ground cloth. That, you can't just sit there and monkey through it. You got to pay attention to what you're doing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. And my Avlia design, the Blue Larkspur, I thought it would be like, oh, this is going to be easy. It's on 30 count. That's simple, simple, simple. Well, then I've had to rip out several motifs several times from miscounting errors. And I realized, no, I can't, because it's the piece I take a lot of time to my mother-in-law's on Sundays, and we're just sitting and visiting. So I thought it would be a nice piece, just to be cross-stitching and visiting, and not a big deal. Well, not so. I mean, it's beautiful. I love it. But I'm like, okay, I've got to make sure I'm not working on one of these motifs that I have to do a lot of counting, because obviously I can't count and talk at the same time.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's the thing is, hang on. I look at that kind of a thing, because knitters will go anywhere, anytime, sit and talk for hours, and they're just knitting and purling their brains out. The stuff is just coming out the bottom of their hands like a machine, and they don't miss a beat when in the conversation. And I mean, that's just, annoying that they can do that. That it's like, wow.
Right.
But they can. And so then, all right, can needle workers do that? Well, that's a bit harder to say.
And I think it depends on the pattern.
Yeah.
So this Avlia design has a huge line around it. It goes all the way around, and I know I can do like a thread length of that and not have to worry about counting. I just go.
Right.
I can go.
Right.
So I set it up that way. So a lot of people, what they do is if they're doing cross stitch, they will, let's say they're going to go to a retreat, they'll outline an area that's got a huge fill-in area. And then they'll say, okay, then when I get to retreat, all I have to do is go back and forth with the solid color and fill this area in.
Yes.
And you can talk. And, okay, and here's another good one for this. Do you still have Purple Mountain Majesty framed up?
Yes.
Dan Rogers. Okay, yep. So there's all that tent stitch.
Yes. Yes.
Again, a perfect piece for that, because you are, if you know where that outline ends, you're just filling in.
Yep. Yeah, then you can sit. Yeah, you can sit and talk. You can do anything. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. If you have all the boundaries set.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have one that's not set and you have to count,
no.
For me, I'll go right. I'll blow right past that and have to pull out a whole bunch of stuff every time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Or miscount. Like, oh, wait a second. This is not fitting in here. Rat.
Right. Yeah.
I gotta come out. I'll gotta come out. Oh.
But yeah, so you can do it. And I think that's like, just to use Avliya as her meditative pieces, that's the beauty of those, is once you establish the pattern, it's just repetitive. Right. And so you can just go. And right. Yeah, you can. So you can do in a social thing. But then, all right, so then you've done it. I haven't. You've done it. Is that rude to be in a conversation and be stitching?
Well, and I think it depends on where you are and what you're doing. But okay. For me, I stitch a lot in public. So we have a Sunday school. When we were attending Sunday school at our church, I brought stitching with me because I tend to pay attention better if my hands are busy. Mm-hmm. And I found I was looking out the window. It's like one of those kids. It's like, okay, so this child is not paying attention in school. But if I was stitching, you know, I knew where they were. I could open. I'd know the passages they were in the Bible. I could answer questions. It's just how I am. And I used to be that way in college too. It used to drive people next to me crazy. I would write letters to my mother and take notes at the same time. And they were like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I just can't just sit and listen to this lecture. It just, I lose my train of thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't pay attention to them. So if I just need that extra little bit of a distraction.
Yeah.
But there are times when it just doesn't seem like it's appropriate. You know, you're having a deep conversation. Then I just don't stitch. I just put it away and don't work on it.
Yeah. Cause see, I'm made like that too. If I have something that I'm doing and there's a conversation going on to a degree, that helps me. But if it's if it's a conversation I have to focus on, then yeah, no. But yeah, I can do that. And I've often wondered, because I'll admit, you know, we think we found a church here in St. Louis, and so we've gone to church a couple, three times, and new ministers, so new voice and new patterns and messages, so I'm pretty locked in. But now, the last time we went, I found my mind wandering, and during the sermon, and I wondered, you know, if I had some stitching going on, would it be easier to pay attention? I think it would be. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And I know you're not supposed to admit that your mind wanders during a sermon, but mine does. It's the way it is.
Right. Right. And I think that's why people doodle in church, you know, maybe, you know, it's just something to keep you that little bit of yourself occupied. So that way you can pay attention the rest of the time. But
yeah.
And for like on Sundays, when I'm at my mother-in-law's, you know, we're just chatting and again, you know, we go every Sunday, so they know I'm going to bring stitching. And so to me that, you know, they just expect me to have something out and working on something.
Yeah. You've established the behavior there, but then like if you were meeting a new couple for dinner or going to a new neighbor's house, then yeah, that's a little different.
Right. And yeah. I wouldn't do that. I would just, it just wouldn't be comfortable bringing something.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. I just wonder because, I mean, I've stitched in public maybe twice and both times have been at airports where I'm waiting for a flight and, you know, nobody knows me. I just sit there in a corner and just stitch I've done it on airplanes more than once, but you know, I don't count that. people can't get up and walk by, you know.
So, right, right, right. They can't look at you.
Right. Yeah, that's a great dilemma for me because I'm an aisle seat person. But if I want a stitch, I really want a window seat. I want to be tucked in the corner there so that because I don't want my elbow out in the aisle all the time.
Right, right.
So, yeah, there's a whole other thing. What's the best seat on public transportation for stitching? I don't know.
One where you have the whole row to yourself. That's the ideal.
Yeah, that would be ideal. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you guys move out of here. I need the space.
Yeah. I need the space so I can stitch. They look at you like you're a weirdo.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay. All right. So I'm gonna write to Heather. Yeah. What's my optimum number of embroidery projects? Yeah, all of them.
As many as I can have.
That's
yeah.
right. Yep. All right. Now this is a little long, but it really is interesting. So Angela Nowicki from Chemnitz, Germany. Chemnitz. I don't know. Chemnitz, Germany. I always got to know how to spell these things, and I don't do German, so I don't know. Anyway. She says kind things about Fiber Talk, and she's listening, making her way through all the podcasts from the bottom up. But we struck a chord with her. And so, and this really got both of us thinking. Okay, so I'm just going to read what she says, and then we'll see what we think. I don't really understand the whole PDF versus printed chart thing. You always say support your local needlework shop, and I agree with that. As long as you have a local needlework shop within walking or reasonable driving distance. We in Germany don't. There are 4, maybe 5 brick-and-mortar needlework shops in the country of which I know, and all of them are in West Germany and maybe Berlin, while I'm living in East Germany. There was one 80 kilometers from my city. No idea if it still exists because, yeah, that didn't go well. Shop owners, you really got to be nice to your customers. You really do.
Yes.
That having said, driving 160 kilometers would cost me 35 euros, which I just don't have to spare. So if you don't, 160 kilometers, that's 130 miles. Yeah. Okay. There we go. Long haul. No, that's not right. It's basically 100 miles. So, yeah. So if you don't have a local shop, you have to order your chart online or by phone, right? If they send you a printed chart, you will have to pay for the shipping, which would be, in my country, an additional 5 euros. The shop doesn't get anything out of it. It's for the parcel service. If you have the luck to find your chart in my case, German shop. If you're not so lucky, you have to order it abroad, which pushes the shipping costs up to 12 to 15 euros minimum and adds import sales tax plus a flat rate of minimum 6 euros for the parcel service. For the financial situation of many of us, this is madness. Well, that's something they have to deal with in Europe that we don't hear, is all those add-on taxes and fees that when it comes to shipping, we don't generally have to deal with. I really feel sorry for them in that regard. Wouldn't it be, therefore, much better if already the shops offered the charts as downloadable PDFs? Whether you get a ready-printed chart or you print it yourself on your own printer, where's the difference? The copyright issue remains the same. If someone wants to cheat, what is stopping her or him from copying the printed chart and giving it away, or give away a printed chart he or she has already used? The only remaining question would be, do I sell my PDF charts through a needlework shop or through my own shop? But that wasn't the actual question of the day. Why not support all private online and Etsy shops, as for instance Mary Corbett's eShop, where she's selling her patterns as downloadable PDFs for many years? Thanks for all you've done and still doing for the needlework world. So, all right. Well, thanks to Angela for writing, number one, and for listening from the bottom up. That's
amazing.
Yeah, bravo for that. That's a lot of them. So, but she raises a good question. If you set aside the European limitations when it comes to shipping, you know, if you just take that out of the equation, the basic question applies across, you know, around the world, this PDF versus a chart thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think, well, and I was just thinking, you know, I live in a a needlework desert. I have to order things online. I have to go to a physical shop. It just doesn't happen that often anymore. So I think the issue is too, you know, people want some of these charts that we just order them from our needlework store, and right. And shipping is cheap for us. I mean, I think Kim gives a fairly reasonable rate for her shipping. I want to say it's $4 was the last time I checked. So that's reasonable for whatever you put in your cart for charts. But I can see why people would want those PDFs if you had to get it from, you know, wanted it from the United States to anywhere in Europe, because to do that is terribly pricey.
Right.
And I know some of the designers do it for that reason, make it a PDF. I think our concern is, you know, supporting the brick and mortar shop. So if the designers are selling it on their own, we want to make sure the shops stay open. We don't want to lose more of our shops.
Right.
I just read somewhere else, someone said their local needlework shop is closing. We don't know if the owners got older and are selling out or, you know, whatever. But it's nice to go to a physical shop. So, and then if you think of places like in Wyoming or, you know, out in the great wild west, you know, you really can't get to a shop. Things are really, really far away.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess if you stitch a lot of those cross-stitch charts, I can understand why you'd want them as a PDF.
Yeah.
You can look at them on your tablet. They're fast to do. I don't know.
Right. Well, it's you know, to me, there's a couple of you could break this apart in a couple of ways. Because if we look at designers, okay, designers want their charts in shops. But there's an increasing number of designers who are also selling from their websites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're in the shop or they're selling from their website. And you can find them who are selling kits. Because you can make the argument, well, if I buy a PDF from a designer, I still need that needlework shop to kit the thing up. And, you know, that you can make that argument. But then you can find designers who will also sell kits. And so if I look at that, and then, of course, you have the whole Etsy thing. I mean, there is a ton of designers who are selling designs on Etsy who are not in shops. And then, of course, you can make the argument, well, all right, if you buy from them, virtually none of them are selling kits, then you still go to the shop and get your kit.
Right.
You get your threads and your whatever. And so there becomes a gray area. And it takes me back to Cindy Baldwin and I, it was a couple of months ago on a Wednesday show, we were just kind of speculating along these lines. And we talked about what the shop of the future would be and how you could have in a shop. Let's just use Sassy Jack's, for instance, just to have a shop to refer to. So Kim could say, I don't know that we have to have a shop, but anyway, Kim could say, all right, I'm going to take the available retail space I have, and I'm going to set up a corner with three or four computers and printers, and I'm going to have a catalog of all the charts I carry. And you go there and you search for them, and then you find one you want, and then you print it out. And then you now have the printout, and then now let's kit it up for you. Let's get thread and ground cloth and, you know, let's kit the thing up. Now, from a pure retail business perspective, that frees up an awful lot of space that's being consumed by paper charts.
Right.
A huge amount of space. So then that starts to open up things like, all right, now I can carry more lines of thread. I can have more table space for cutting ground cloth. I can have an area, if you're a small shop, I can now have an area where people can sit around a table and stitch. So I can have a stitch day or stitch evening. you know, that starts to change the dynamic there.
Right.
And then you don't have that inventory come tax time of all these paper charts you have to account for.
Mm-hmm. And you're only printing as needed.
Right.
And that's such a huge advantage there.
Right. You get a really good printer, so they get a nice quality printout. And, yeah, you have ink, you have computers, but, you know, I mean, computers at some point are relatively inexpensive. And you can carry more charts because now you're not limited to the retail space you have. And you can carry old charts because they're not taking up space. If they're not selling, you don't care. They're just data on a drive somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's, you know, I think you have to look hard at that. And you still sell them. You still sell them for the retail price because you're still providing that service. You're providing a place for people to come and search a central location. They don't have to go to 15 different designer sites, a central location where they can search for, you know, say reproduction samplers. You know, you can put that in and you could sit there all day long if you want and pour through them until you find the ones you want.
Right.
You know, so I can see that working for as an advantage for a retail shop. Yeah, I mean that, but I don't know. It's because you don't want these, none of us wants these shops to go away. I mean, they're without these shops, I don't know what we'll do.
Right.
You know, we need the shop because you need the shops and people say, well, I can get my thread from Joann's. Well, don't, you know, quite frankly, don't do that. Support the shops. But you need these shops because how many times is a thread not available or the chart is spec'd in DMC and you want it in silk without these shop owners, unless you're really good with colors and have the ability because the shop can lay out the silks on the table.
Right.
And if you're going off of pictures, that's gutsy.
Okay. I'll give you an example. I'm working on my painted canvas. And after we talked to Kathy Ray last Wednesday, I realized I really just need to send her a photo of my painted canvas and say, what do you suggest for this border? And you know what? She was able to pull threads. She laid them out. She had some suggestions. I gave her some DMC numbers. I said, this is kind of what I'm working on for the background. This is what I'm using. This is the color numbers that are in these other pieces, parts of this piece. So, you know, what do you think will work? Because I don't have a shop locally. And even the ones that are local don't do needlepoint necessarily. They're cross-stitched shops.
Yeah, yeah.
And I need a physical person. You can scroll. I tried. I thought, I can go through and pick out what I need. But she's got a good online catalog. I was like, no, this is. I'm going to have to put too much in my cart to make sure I get the right color. I'm just going to send her a note, and then she might pull one or two extra. But instead of me saying, well, is this really the right color of green that I need? I can't really tell on the screen. I'll order all three. She said, oh, here, just these two. These will work. It was perfect.
Yep.
It was perfect.
And see, that's the power. That's why mm-hmm. it's so important. Because you take Kim at Sassy Jack's, Jean Lee at the Attic, Kathy at Needle in a Haystack. You just take those three, and there are many, many others who can do this. The knowledge they have in selecting threads, and you just watch the thread talks with Kathy Ray that we've had, the knowledge she has of the different kinds of threads for a painted canvas, you can't do that. Like you said, you would have to order so many threads, many of which you'd never use,
right?
Or have to return, which... You know, is I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. They would just live in my stash. Right. And I don't mind having a few extra threads because we all know I like them. But after a point in time, it's like, okay, I just need certain things for this canvas. And I don't want to buy a whole bunch more threads. I'm trying to use what I have, and I don't have anything that'll work. And so let's limit this a little bit.
Right.
But or let's say you're doing a reproduction sampler, and you're like, well, this really doesn't go with my house, but you call Jean at the attic and say, hey, you know, I really want to change these blues to reds or reds to blues. I want to change it to silk. I want to change it to, is there any way you have, in this thread line? I really like this thread line. Can we do it in that? You can't just go online and check that out. That's just, it's impossible. Not unless you have, okay, there is a way. If you had a DMC card, the Averisois card, I don't know if Gloriana has a thread card.
Yep.
Rainbow Galleries used to have thread cards. If you had that'd be a lot of thread cards to keep in your house.
Right.
Unless you're, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Experts do it.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, okay, that's all fine and good, but then what about your ground cloth?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kim, kit this up for me. I think I want this ground cloth and do a conversion to silks.
Right.
And she lays them all out on the ground cloth. And the next thing you get an email, well, this great. This all works except these two colors. They don't stick out. I'm suggesting these two colors in as a replacement if you want to use this ground cloth, or we have this other ground cloth that would make them all stand out. You know, that's advice you can't, because then, like, you know, thread cards, but you can't have, they're not cloth cards for all of the linens.
And with the linen being harder to get, being willing to be flexible, I mean, because we just had market just, you know, and everyone's looking at all these wonderful charts that just came out. You say, okay, Kim, what do you have? I prefer it to be lighter, or I want to do this on a dark fabric. What do you have? What has come in? And she can say, well, this came in, you know, or I just bought this color, and lay it out for you. And she'd be able to make a choice, help you make a choice.
Right. Yeah. There's just so much value in that. You know, and I think of Jean Lee, I mean, she, for her sampler of the month, every month, she does a silk conversion. She does silk conversions for everything. Cause as she says, she's a silk snob. So, you know, but there's, you know, that's that knowledge and experience that they have, all these skilled shop owners, that's something they have that you can't get. And if you want to have a basement full of every thread color everywhere so you can go pull the same thing, you know, more power to you. But, you know, people can't do that. And, we need to protect those shops. I mean, but I also think that we're in a real transitional period these days in regards to buying particularly charts, because the internet and, you know, downloadable PDFs gives too many options, and people are going to take advantage of those options, especially like you, where there's nobody around. You have to spend basically an entire day if you want to go to a shop.
Right.
You know, I'm really kind of in a spot too, where if I want to do painted canvas, I can have two shops within 10 minutes. Outside of that, I'm out of luck too. I got nothing. You know, you do have needlework shops within 10 minutes of you, but I don't do painted canvas that much, or hardly at all. So not much use to me. But it's, you know, it's a transition period we're in.
Well, and I also think people, I've seen a lot of people using the Pattern Keeper. So they like to use their tablets to upload the charts to, to that. And I can understand that. I think some of the larger charts especially are nice. You know, you can mark them off. You know, I'm a little bit of a Luddite, so I haven't gotten into that. but but I can see why people like that. And then also the advantage is you don't have those pieces of paper chart laying all around.
Right.
You've got your little catalog of your charts. They're on your on a file in your computer or on the cloud or wherever you store them. And it's easy to, they're easy to get to. I can understand that, especially the younger stitchers who are much more comfortable than like for me than I am on using something like that, using a some your tablet or right. your phone to look at things. So yeah. I think we are in that transition period. But I, again, you know, we just, it just keep thinking we don't, we went through a whole period of time here. It's just been recently that needlework has again picked up steam again, especially yeah. With the cross stitch. And you and I can both remember when, you know, we were the lone people doing, okay, right. we're doing needlework here. People don't tend to forget that. And we just don't want those things to go away.
No, you know, no.
Our shops to go away.
Yeah. And there's going to be increasing amounts of opportunity to buy online. I mean, there's no mm-hmm. question. I mean, that's just the world we're in. You know, the skill that is in these shops and, you know, and the ability to say, well, I got this thread in, but I really don't care for it. You know, I'm not sure I want to sell this. I mean, that's a screening thing that would cost you actual money, to do. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out, especially at a time when needlework, like you said, is just raging, in terms of activity. How is this going to play out? And, we need young people to do in the hobby to keep it alive. And we are seeing, particularly with cross stitch, a lot of young people, and they're going to go the electronic method. They're going to go the online method, as much as they can, because that's fits their approach. And you know, I'm with you. I like having that piece of paper there. I like having the actual original chart. But that's all we've known for how long?
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's just going to be interesting to watch. But I think that through it all, that we need to support our local shops is just that we can't let that go away, because we can't let those shops go away. We need them. And, there's fewer every day. And, yeah.
Right.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Angela, I think we understand, you know, because in Europe, it's harder to get some of the charts that you see on FlossTube, you see on the internet, and you're like, okay, I'd like to have that one, but shipping and customs and all that, you know, cost prohibitive. And right. I can understand why PDF appeals. There's sure. no doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And every time that we talk to somebody from Europe, and the subject of threads comes up, and it's so hard for them to get threads, and you just want to get a box and fill it and send it to them, you know?
Right, right.
Because we're spoiled. I mean, we're spoiled rotten with all the thread options we have. They can't get their hands on even a fraction of it. And, yeah. So, all right, Angela, I don't know if we answered your question, Angela, or cleared things up for you, but I don't think there's a real clear answer. But definitely, in her case, driving 100 miles to buy a chart, nah, that's not happening. Yeah.
No.
None of us would understand. Do that. Yeah.
No.
So, I don't know. Well, anyway, yeah, it's it'll be interesting to have this same discussion 3 years from now. I bet we're talking a different ballgame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even 3 years ago, PDFs were not as
right
prevalent as they are now.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
Quickly changed world.
Yep. All right. That's interesting. Okay. Now, we have been carting this one around for several times.
Okay.
All right. The question, do we have favorite county canvas designers? Or do we have favorite designers in general?
Right.
And I think, yeah, we
do.
No offense to the other people, but we do have favorites.
Everybody has favorite.
Yes. So let's try cross stitch first.
Well, I have to agree. I like Rosewood Manor. Her work is beautiful. There's something for everybody in there.
Yep.
But you know, the other thing I started collecting is those Betsy Morgan Willing Hands books 1 and 2, because I like, and hers are mainly counted. They're counted techniques. She has some what people call specialty stitches in them. But I think I like, what I like about her work is it's got the construction. You have to make something with it. I just love looking at those. The etuis in her box.
Yeah. Yep.
But Rosewood Manor.
Yeah, I would say for cross stitch, I've said it before and I'll say it every time it comes up, best in the business, Karen Kluba, Rosewood Manor. For the catalog of designs she has, the variety, sizes, designs, design types, mm-hmm. use of threads and colors. Mm-hmm. I just don't, I mean, there's a lot of people that are close, but I just think she is the best in the business. I really do. Right. That Autumn Hill, holy smokes.
I know.
And I didn't send it to you, but I saw someone did a silk conversion for Autumn Hill.
I think Vicki Clayton was talking about doing one too, and so I'm kind of watching her site.
Yeah, but
and because the colors, I think I like it better than Summer Hill. I like Summer Hill, but Autumn Hill.
Yep.
Those colors are just scrumptious. And then the other one, did you look up her crosshatch sampler? It's the one with the herons at the bottom.
Yes, I did. Yes.
I love that. I think you could do just that bottom section
mm-hmm.
as like a drum.
Oh.
Like make it into a drum or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I live close to the Mississippi, and we get egrets and those sort of birds out here. And our pelicans are back. So I kept thinking, that would be so cool to do. To have that, to just do that little bottom section.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I that one's fine with me, but you had me at Tisket a Tasket.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That one.
that one has been ordered. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Reproduction samplers. We agree on this one too.
Yeah. Queenstown. Yeah. She does beautiful work. I mean, she's got a lot of variety. It's got a huge depth there. But Kim's been from Sassy Jacks, Sassafras Samplers. She's got, what I like about hers is Kim's are very special, like the AC Bluebird. Then she has Mabel Took that she's talking about re-releasing. She doesn't have a huge amount of them out, but the ones she has are very, very special.
Yep.
And I like that.
Yep. Same for me. Queenstown Samplers, Barbara Hudson that's my go-to. But, and I'll tell you what tipped it in for me with Sassafras Samplers was when Kim and Susan Greening Davis did that show a couple weeks ago and showed the stuff she has coming up. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is, I like some of her previous ones, but some of these coming up are just terrific. I'd like hurry up and release them.
Yes.
Yeah, like I'm tired of, I've seen this now. I don't want to wait for it. So I think she's starting to establish a real nice place in the reproduction sampler thing with the Sassafras Samplers, without a doubt.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And hers, I think she has quite a few in her collection, but I think she tries to make sure they're special. They're not just, you're not just doing the same thing again and again.
Right. Right.
And I love that. It made huge the Bristol one that I've been pestering her. I'm like, okay, when is, she says, we're waiting it for it from the printer, Beth. I'm like, well, you know, I need to order it, you know, and I can't get it. Not yet. So yeah, yep. I'm looking forward to that one coming out.
Cause yeah, that's the thing. And that's, I think where Barbara Hudson stands out too, is there, you can go through their catalog and there are different kinds of samplers because mm-hmm. some catalogs you go through and quite frankly, they all start to look the same. But right. You know, there's band samplers and there's all kinds of things that make them different in both of them. So yeah, I'm with you. Sassafras samplers, yep. Got to pay attention to that one. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
And that Bristol, I got to have the Bristol too. Yep.
Yes.
Maybe if we both pester her, the printer will print faster. Do you think?
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. She's like, you two leave me alone.
Okay, County Canvas.
Yeah, Dan Rogers. I could stitch her all day.
Yep.
I mean, a friend of mine is doing Catherine. She's been nagging me to get mine out too. It's Young Catherine, I think, is the name of the canvas. And she said, you know, the stitches aren't that difficult. And I'm like, yeah, they're not. There's nothing hard about her stitches. It's the way she places them on the canvas to get the design. And she's been posting on my guild's Facebook page and watching that piece develop over time. It is just gorgeous. The colors Gayen chose, the stitches she chose, it's just fabulous. It's a fabulous piece.
Yeah. Yeah. She's special. She's special. Now, and I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Gayen Rogers. Now, of course, those like the Queens and stuff, you know, not my cup of tea, but mm-hmm. so many of her other things, they're just outstanding, every single one of them. But then for geometrics, for me, no mystery here. It's Debbie Rowley. I've always loved the work she does. I don't know what it is. But I just love the way she uses threads, the way she does colors and the variety of stitches. And, of course, her instructions are unmatched. And, yeah, that for me is the when it comes to geometric type county canvas, it's Debbie Rowley for me. Yeah.
Right. Well, and if this is totally your fault,
You
and Debbie's, I signed up for that angles class and I haven't pulled the canvas or anything, but I thought, okay, I'm going to listen to the Zoom lectures. You know, I signed up for the class. I might as well listen. Well, I'm just kind of stitching on something else and listening, thinking, okay, I know how to do these stitches. This isn't going to be a big deal. And she's been giving pointers like where to start your sprat set so that you don't see your starting point because, you know, you're doing a pin stitch. And she gives an exact placement. And I'm thinking, wait, I need to make notes on this. And then she, and again, there was something else that she, so again, as a teacher, and I've never taken a class from her before, but that was just that fabulous information she gave. And there's been two Zoom classes.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not physically able to stitch the piece right now. I just cannot pull it out. I can't. But I'm going to have to go grab my instructions and go re-listen to the Zoom lectures so I can take notes on these fabulous pointers she's giving. It's like I'm in a real class with her, except now it's spread out. Instead of crammed into a three-day workshop, it's spread out over 6 to 8 weeks. And so I will get all this information over time. So fabulous teacher.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt. So, okay, Gayen and Debbie Rowley. All right. Surface embroidery.
Oh, this were totally different.
Yes.
Ariane Zurcher or Hazel Blomkamp. I like Ariane does very freeform, she calls it improvising her stitching. It's, and I like that. I like, she's truly an artist. But what I like is she's not afraid to experiment with threads. She says, you know, what's the worst that can happen? I hate it and I have to cut it out. Mm-hmm. She says, I got to try a bigger needle with it. Or she finally is using a hoop, which kind of cracked me up. She's like, I don't like using hoops. I don't like using. And then she realized that she got better results on bullion knots when she was using a hoop.
Oh, okay.
I found interesting. But she's not afraid to experiment. And I think I like that. I like that about her.
Yeah. And, yeah. See, I appreciate her art, but the free form, if I was to sit down and do it, I struggle with that. I don't know that I could do it. I wouldn't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the art. And there are others who do that free form kind of stuff. And I enjoy looking at it and appreciating it. But if you say, hey, would you stitch it? Yeah, I just can't. It doesn't fit me.
Right. Right.
You know. So, okay. Yeah. So for me, service embroidery, Trish Burr.
Yeah.
Cause now, so you know, there's the other end of the spectrum where, you know, the birds, I mean, you know, put a picture of a bird up there, a photograph of a bird and put up Trish Burr's and then stand back 10 feet and tell me the difference.
Right.
See that to me, that connects me. With right. that kind and, of thing.
Right. And she's, from what I can see, she does a beautiful job teaching you how to get those results too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So fabulous teacher in that regard.
Yeah.
Again, beautiful work. I agree. Right. Just beautiful work.
Yeah. Yeah. But much, much more structured than Ariane. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then I put Hazel Blomkamp down because she does the same sort of thing. She took crewel embroidery and use threads that she had on hand instead of using wool, used other things to create that effect. And I mm-hmm. like that, her creativity in that way.
Yeah. And see, and I would agree with you on Hazel. Plus, I like her style.
Mm-hmm.
I like her animals, the style she has. There's a whimsy and a fun to them. And variety and challenge, and the colors are great. I really enjoy her style a lot. Yeah.
Right.
And yeah. I think I would throw in, I think, not throw in, I think I would add to the list Mary Corbett.
Yes.
She has, I mean, hers a completely different style to her work. But I would add her because there's a good challenge there, and you want to talk about teaching. You know, taking a project and knowing that you have a teacher behind that's going to make it successful in service embroidery. That, I mean, there's, you know, Mary Corbett, that's it right there.
Right. And again, I like her desire to experiment, you know, with threads, because she does, not the same way Ariana Zurcher does, but she was doing lines of stitches just with thread colors. It was some sort of sampler she had. And so she was just playing with her, what she had. And I love that. I love that too about her.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. There's nothing boring about her. Always something different. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gold work, stump work, blah, blah, blah. That whole world.
Well, Allison Cole is a great, you know, you have her as gold work. I put her as stump work. You know, she's just so versatile.
Yeah. Because tell me she does one better than the other. I don't think so.
No, yeah. She doesn't. No. Beautiful things.
No doubt. For me, the standout. Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot of beautiful gold work people, but Allison Cole, I mean, you know, Jenny Aiden Christie,
Yes.
You know, that's pretty spectacular stuff, but day in, day out, Allison Cole for me. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She has beautiful things. And I love her stump work. You know, she had she's in that pincushion book.
Yes.
That Cindy Baldwin actually is, that was her fault. So, we'll blame her for that one.
yep.
And she was in there for that. What is that? Nodding, some sort of nodding orchids. Just beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay, so we agree on that. White work, I don't even have to give 3 seconds on that.
Yvette Stanton. Yeah.
Yeah, that's easy. Easy yeah. pickings there. Yep.
Yeah, and because her books are fabulous, just to look at, and her instructions.
Yep.
The history and the depth of her work. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's just it. It's not just one type of white work. It's superb design and superb instruction for how many different types of white work.
Right.
And white work we didn't know existed 5 years ago. You know.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, Yvette Stanton. Yeah, there's nothing. So, nothing beats that. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. That was our list.
That was our list.
That's a good list.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was lots of others we didn't even, you know, Jane Nicholas, she has some beautiful stump work.
Yeah. See, that's the trouble. That's the trouble with a list like this is you got to leave people like her off.
Right. Right. And then of course, you know, we're doing the 17th century white work class with Tricia Nguyen, and talk about getting the history lesson while you're at it.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I mean, you don't just do the needlework. You've got this whole history thing you're supposed to read before you even get to your stitching.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh. You're a smarter person when you get done with one of her things.
Right. Yeah. Right. You're not just going to have a piece finished. You're going to have a whole bunch of knowledge on how things are done.
Right.
Or were done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think if you step back from all of it, overall, you know, I mean, those are the number ones. And then there's probably half a dozen or more 1A people in every one of those categories.
Right.
I mean, how fortunate we are to have so many good designers in so many different areas. You want to try something, boy, there's just a bunch of people who are really good at it with really good designs, and who are anxious to have people try the technique, are all about furthering the cause. And
right.
Yeah. I mean, it's just really fortunate that we have so many, around the world. It really is. Yeah.
Right. And we're living in an age and a time where we can, you know, we can see them. We have access to them.
Right.
You know, the internet makes that so much easier. Back to that PDF question.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is, you know, we now can, you can go online and take a class, an online class with Allison Cole.
Right.
You don't have to go to Australia. It'd be nice to go to Australia, but you don't have to go.
Yeah. Well, you know, 8-10 years ago, would we even know who Allison Cole is?
Right. Right.
You know, would we even know Inspirations Magazine exists?
No.
Probably right. not.
But, no. You know, Mary Corbett kept, you know, would show these things. Well, even Tricia Nguyen, the her casket, her jacket. I know I first read about it on Mary Corbett's blog.
Yeah. 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 So, what would we do without Mary Corbett? Yeah.
I don't know. And her sharing her love of needlework with all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And someone who has every right to, quite frankly, just be tired of it as much as she does. And, you know, her enthusiasm just never wanes. I mean, she just, you know, this week she's got a new project that she's finishing up. She just always something. It's so impressive right. how she just keeps going. Truly loves it, yeah, mm-hmm. and loves it and wants to share it. Not just loves it and keeps it to herself, but
right,
yeah, special lady there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yep. All right, gonna have to be it.
All right.
I hope we did Angela Nowicki some good. I hope we helped her. I don't know.
Yeah,
we tried.
We tried.
We get effort points is what we get. Yep.
Effort for points. Good.
Yep. All right. Tonight, 8:00 Eastern time on the YouTube channel. We're going to stitch and chat, and join us for that. Note that if you are a Stitch Hour person, there will not be one next Wednesday. Not one next Wednesday. I'd be happy to do one on bike riding with my sister.
But you don't want to take all that equipment with you.
No.
On the bike.
No, I don't. So my sister's a blast. I mean, it would be.
It'd be fun.
It'd be fascinating. You
get to meet her. Yeah.
Yeah, but it'd be about bikes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's it. Thanks for listening.
All right, bye.